The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so technically this is Rambam Bakius, okay, but we have a little bit more to do with the Aruch HaShulchan from last time. So quick recap, okay, if I asked you point blank based on last week on your recollection, what is the concept of a tenth of like Maaser according to the Rambam? Like halachically, what is or what's its halachic like nature or structure? Yeah,
just from the text, whatever you have on the first
hand. Right. So the mitzvah of tzedakah is what is to give when the person asks, right? So, but where does a tenth come in though?
Darabon.
Right. So the where, first of all, where does the Rambam say it though? Because he doesn't explicitly say it's darabonin. Yeah.
Right here. It's yeah. Like what a magi gives.
Yeah, it's the middle. He says middle amount is a tenth, maximum is a fifth, and then the minimal amount. Did I say the minimal amount the first time? I meant the normal amount, middle amount is the tenth, maximum amount is a fifth, and then the minimal amount is the 2.8 grams of silver right. Per year, right? But then it's unclear from the Rambam, like what, how you reconcile that with demachzor or sher yachzor lo, with giving the poor person what he needs. So that's. And where's the minimal amount come from also, right? And what's this thing of a year if the whole chiyuv of tzedakah is whenever the guy asks you? So that's where the Aruch HaShulchan came in and said that he holds that de'oraisa, it's just to give whatever the poor person needs, okay? But midirabbanan, the Rabbanan had to put a cap on that because people were giving away too much. And they said there's three guidelines. There's a tenth, which is the normal amount, and then a fifth, which is the maximum amount unless you're on your deathbed, in which case you could give up to half. Because then you're splitting it with the inheritors, and then there's the minimal amount, okay? And he says that that's derabbanan, okay?
So yeah, talking about tzedakah, right?
Tzedakah, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to say the context is tzedakah. Yeah, yeah.
Just so that it's separate from maaser.
And it, oh, so that's what I want to talk about today. Okay, so he did say it's separate from maaser because what is actual maaser? A tenth of what?
Oh, a tenth of
produce. Okay, right. So he said. So he said it's different. Now this is one of these things. So a side point here. I don't know if you have. Okay, we all have gaps in our knowledge. Okay, but I think that because I only converted when I was in 11th grade, there's certain things that people talk about as if it is unanimously a thing that I kind of like was misled into thinking that it's unanimously a thing. And then only later on found out that it's not unanimously a thing. And one of those things is miser. Like you have to give 10% of your, like miser kesafim, like giving 10% of your income. Okay. So this is what the Aruch HaShulchan clarifies today. He says like this, well, if you shebirano, according to what we explained, which we just recapped, hadavar muhra kedas hagadolim hasovrim de miser kesafim in lehem shum ikar min haTorah. Okay, so he says it's clear, like the opinion of the Gedolim, I don't know which Gedolim he's talking about, that who hold that miser of money has no foundation in the Torah. Okay, so he says, so that's the Bach and the Pnei Yeshua. Okay, I guess that's the Gedolim. Okay, I guess contemporary Gedolim. V'yishkehevi rai mikan de miser kesafim hu min haTorah. Some, the Taz, hold, want to bring a proof from here that Maaser Kesafim is from the Torah. And he says, Utmihani, I'm astounded by this. According to what we explained, Adraba, Raya Mikan Lehefech. It's the exact opposite. Okay, how so? He says, V'ikr chiyuv hatzedakah min haTorah hu litin lo de machsora. The essential obligation from the Torah is to give the person whatever he needs. Okay. Hechi, and a tenth or a fifth, that's just a takana from the Rabbanan. And if you're going to say, if you're going to say that from the Torah, you're obligated to give him what he needs, then you could say, how did the Rabbanan come along and put a cap at a fifth, even if that doesn't take care of his needs? Halokashi, that's not a problem. Delavad Masha Kasavdi Basif Gimel, in addition to what we read last week, Odze Gufa Din Torahu, Shalo Yichalik Adam Kol Kaspal Tzedaka. This is also a halacha deoraisa that you're not supposed to give all your money to tzedaka. Kiditnan Be'erechen, Machrim Adam Mitzono Umibakar Bukhule, Bim Hechrim Eskulam, Inam Muhramim. So I don't really know halachas of Erechen and Haramim, but apparently if you try to designate all your stuff for like Hekdesh or whatever, all of your stuff, then it doesn't work. Okay. Double ice backfire. Minahan emili. How do we know this? Detanan rabbanan mi kol asher lo, because the rabbanan get a drasha from everything that you own. V'lo kol asher lo, but not everything that you own. Ayin shan. B'chein kasav harambam sof hilchos erichin leolam al lo yakish adam kol nechasav. Rambam says a person shouldn't sanctify, consecrate all of his possessions. But osekin over al das hakasuv. Someone who does this violates the pasuk. Sharihu omer mi kol asher lo v'lo kol asher lo. That's not piety, that's idiocy. Ram says, if you're going to spend money on mitzvos, don't do more than a fifth. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so I was going to say, until that line, it wasn't really a great proof, because I mean, it's a didn't head dish, not a didn't sit
up. Right, correct. Yeah. You're right. He's expanding it. Yeah. Harim aforesh demin haTorah asur l'chal l'kol nechasav im kein behechreach l'tein shir. So from the Torah, it's asur to give away all your possessions, and so you need a shir. Ulzen nasnu chachamim shir kein deraisa meiser v'chomesh, and the chachamim base their shir off their deraisa, which is a tenth and a fifth from you pre-existing deraisa shirim, but they applied it to tzedakah. Mishun demitavua hayam meiser rishon v'od meiser achad o meiser sheni o meiser ani. Okay, they're basing it off of the meisros. Vas muchuha ha dekra dechol asher titein li v'gomer. To hold the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun kein yerli barer v'nirli dilapidion shvuim rasha lehosif al chomesh. If you're redeeming captives, then you can spend more than a fifth. V'chein le'reivim utzmeim v'kiyotzepen, and people who are like in lives in danger through starvation or thirst. But ever sheish bezeh pikuach nefashos muchuya bezeh lehosif, and you're obligated to go more.
I thought he was going to bring a proof for the fact that if you want to do a pidyon with hekdesh, you have to pay an extra fifth.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because hekdesh only makes you pay an extra fifth. Then, like, you see it, like, that's a cap, but I guess
that would be nice. But no, he's saying Pidyon Shavuim, Pidyon Shavuim, yeah. Okay, so now we're going to answer a question that I said we weren't going to answer, but he answers it so clearly that I was like, okay, let's do it, which is how much of your income do you have to give, and how do you calculate that? Okay, now I'm not going to go into all the details, but he says like this. Umavur Birushalmi, the Pa'am Rishon, so we read this last week, not in this halacha. It says in the Yerushalmi that the first time you give nosning hamaiser o hachomish me'akeren, you give the tenth or the fifth from the principal amount, from your net worth, okay? The achrakach me'arevach, then from then on you do it from how much you profit, okay? V'hadavar pashu she'av ha'nosin libino ulibito nidunya o shar matanos. So it's obvious that if a father gives to a son or daughter a gift or some other type, like a wedding gift or some other gift, afo gav she'av hifrish kvar meiser min mamono, even if the father already gave a tenth of his amount, mikomakom kishabali adam, once you, the son or the daughter, get it, you need to separate your own fifth or your own tenth.
You being the child.
And then you go based on the profit. Okay. Now, why does he have to tell you that? So let's say here's an example. Okay. Let's say I am a father, right? And I have $1,000. Okay. And I separate $100 for tzedakah. So I have 900 left, and then I give the 900 to my son, right? So the son can't say, oh, my dad already separated miser from that, so I don't have to give anything. No, for the son, it restarts.
That's like miser shame. No, it's like
hold on, is what did we say, Chaim? Because the son hasn't done it yet, right? So in other words, the son can't like say that, oh, my father already gave it, so this money is already tithed, right? So we didn't know. We said, like, is it when you first start working? Is it like, you know, we didn't really know when the Karen starts. Yeah. So we have to figure that out.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like saying, oh, I got money from someone, from my boss who did my sir on the money that he had.
Right.
And then I got it.
Right. So, but why? Right. So, but where does that havamina come from? You were on the right track.
Where does that
happen? That is a din in the
chet.
Yeah, but where does that come from, though? From Meiser, right? So in Meiser, you do speak of this, of has this tithe produce been tithed already? Like, we do treat it. Like, yeah, there's different people who have to give different amounts from that. But like, that's what he's going to say in a second. He says, and then you could go from the profit. Let's say you inherit money from your father or other relatives. Even if they separate a meiser, you need to separate again. And that's what the gedolim hold. The Alphagav de Bemaiser Tavua Eno Kane, even though Bemaiser Tavua, it's not like that. Kvar Biarno de Eno Mitamza. We explained that that's for a different reason. Ela Dugma Ba'almahu. Okay, so that it does work like that. I don't know enough to say what those halakhos are. Yeah. Okay, then he says, and this part is significant, especially for me when I have people over for Shabbos, maybe. V'chenu davar pashut, sha'revach mechashvin b'chol shana b'shana mi rosh hashana ad rosh hashana. Okay, so this answers another one of our questions. Not why we care about the year, but when. Is you calculate from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah your income.
So,
yeah.
Does that mean you don't know?
Until the end.
Yeah, until the end.
I think so, until the end of the year. And then you go based, just like taxes, right?
So then you give a lump sum then? So the chiyuv,
well, I don't know if it's
like, it's a one-time thing?
Oh, you're talking about for the first year? Well, for the first year, let's say it's your first year working.
Yeah.
So you add up, you wait until the Rosh Hashanah, and you take everything that you added, and then you take a tenth from that.
Oh, okay, but you don't need
and then to, like, the next year, it's from the profit that you accrue each.
Oh, yeah, but you don't need to like pay that off like before the next Rosh Hashanah starts, right?
I don't think he's giving a... Oh, okay.
There's
I don't
like
think,
deadline. I'm saying,
that's
like,
a good question.
Like, this is a fund
that I don't know.
Miami and
right, that I don't know. That he's not addressing that.
Yeah, that seems a little difficult. Because
well,
like,
yeah.
It goes against like some of the things in Uncle's Deus and, you know...
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, let's...
Oh, because if you're supposed to like add it all up at the end and then pay it like taxes and just lump sum it all, then like at least for like, insofar as like doing it many times, you're not going to be able to get to do that many times.
Yeah, he's not saying how you give it. He's okay. Saying how you calculate. Yeah. Okay. So he says, "V'im b'shana zo hayu lo asakim shiyesh sheharevach behem." Sorry, sheharevach behem. V'yish shehifsid behem. So if let's say you had certain like business ventures in that year that some you profited from and some you lost from. Oseh cheshbon klali. You make an overall calculation, umash nishar revach, and the net profit that you have, nosin me eser meiser le tzedakah. You give a tenth of that to tzedakah, but it gets better. Uvichlal revach, and included in the profit, nechshav rak harevach anaki. You only count the clean profit. There's probably a financial term for clean profit, but he'll explain what he means. V'chol ha-hotzal shaylo al ha-esek, all of the expenditures that you did going into the business, okay, Af masha nasa hu b'derech v'achav v'shasa, even the travel expenses, okay, and your food expenses that you took, like let's say you go to you go to China, right? We're not going to do business with China. Let's say you go to the UAE, right? And you take the plane ticket and all the kosher food you buy, so you can deduct that from the total amount. Hakol nechshav al hotzos ha'esek. All of those are included in the expenditures for the business. Umenake hakol, and you withhold all of those.
Okay, and this is only after the first year.
No, this is even, yeah, this is tax-free. Yeah, right.
Even
in the first year. Uma shenishar revach achar nikui kol ha'hotzos, and that which remains as a profit after the withholding of all the expenditures, mikro revach. That's what we call profit.
I thought we said that on the first year you have to pay Karen.
Oh, sorry. You're right. This is... But presumably the what do you call it? Presumably for the Karen. Unless Karen means something different.
Yeah.
Unless Karen means the initial investment.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Yeah. So certainly for the after year one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Aval hotzos beso, but your household expenditures, lo yinake, you cannot deduct. Okay. And then this also partially answers the question that you asked Yosef about debt. Let's say this guy makes a profit of 1,000 zehuvim in a year. Nosin mea omasayim letzedakah. He has to give 100 or 200 for tzedakah. Afagav shu bal hotzah beveso od yoser me'el zehuvim. Even if he spent more than 1,000, I guess he's not in debt. Even though he spent more than 1,000 zehuvim for his house. Okay. In other words, he can't say, well, I got a zero... zero profit because I made $1,000 and I spent $1,000 on my renovations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to give a tenth from the profit. Barak mash hayat tzedakah b'hotza. Only that which is tzedakah in the hotza. Barak mash hayat tzedakah b'hotza, but only that which is tzedakah in the expenditures in his household expenses. Kagon shechalak lechem b'sheni v'chamishi. I'm not familiar with this, that they would give out bread on Mondays and Thursdays.
So people came from,
I guess so. From the yeah, right. I guess so. O nosan prutos lanim, or giving coins to the anim. O nosan lecho eze yom libnei Talmud Torah, right? Or giving a certain day for the Bnei Talmud Torah, right? So I think o lakach oreach ani al Shabbos o al Seuda biyom kiderach Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so I think like hosting Tamid Chachamim for Suda.
Or Aniyah.
Yeah, right. Yachol Lenakos Mechal Chamaiser. You can deduct that or withhold it from Meiser. Aval Hahotzos Benav Ubenos of Akhtanim, but what you spend on your young sons and daughters. Afal Gav to Darshina and Beose Tzedakah Bechol Eis. Even though we say those who do tzedakah at all times, ze hazan banav ubenos v'kshein ketanim, and the Gemara says that refers to people who feed their kids okay, when they're young. Mikomakom inze b'chal tzedakah. That's not included in actual tzedakah. That's like philosophical tzedakah, I guess. V'al tzad hadrash amru. This go on longer than we need. Let's just finish this so we can go back to the Rama tomorrow. V'achalila lachshav ze b'chal tzedakah. Oh, v'al tzad hadrash amru chachamim zal klomer d'gam ze mitzvah. Chazal said that as a drash, that this is also a mitzvah. V'achalila lachshav ze b'chal tzedakah. God forbid that that's included in tzedakah. Dim lokein l'olam lo yegia la'anim af prut achas. Because if everyone's feeding their own household is counted as tzedakah, then no poor people would ever get money. Mm-hmm. That's an exaggeration.
Though, right? Meaning
yeah.
If your kids are going to go on,
I think he'll probably. Let's see if he talks about that. I think that might count as tzedakah, though. Let's see. The Af Hamagadel Bnei Banav Bnei Benosav or Benosehem. I don't know. I think he means even after they are. Oh, yeah, right. Bnei Banav. Yeah. Even if someone who's raising his grandkids or his. Doctrinal grandkids. Yeah, right. That's not a word. Nearly she eno yachol lachshav ze b'chal tzedakah mimaiser. You still can't count that. Ubnei banim harihem kabanim. Your grandchildren are like children. Ah, aval hamagado yasam yisoma. But if you're raising an orphan, mimishpakto o shalom mimishpakto, either from your family or another family, vade shuhu tzedakah gadola. That's a big tzedakah. V'yachshav ze mimaus maiser. You can count that as maiser. V'im huchrach laseis eze tzedakah miruba. If you have to give a huge amount of tzedakah, shadayin ein berevach shlo kol kach maiser, that there is not in your profit that much in terms of the tenth. Yachol litin v'lilvos al smach revach shirviach achrakach. You can still give and then borrow from the total of profit that you're going to profit later on. This seems very, very complicated. Yeah. No, he's saying you can, if you are, let's say someone really needs a huge amount of tzedakah and you've already given the amount that you have set aside from your miser. I think he's saying you can borrow from the future profits to give more. I think that's what he's saying, right?
Can't you give to a chumash?
Yeah, let's say it's more than a chumash, though.
Okay, more than a chumash.
That's what I'm assuming.
Oh, does that mean that like later on you can subtract also?
I think so. I think okay. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. You're borrowing from the future. Yeah. Then you can withhold that and put it in your pocket. I'm not sure what that case is, but then I just wanted to read one thing. So I wanted to see, you never know when the Aruch HaShulchan or any poser for that matter says that this is like a majority opinion. Like, you always have to take that with a grain of salt because, you know, people say that. So I looked at this summary from YU. And they summarize this. I just want to read two paragraphs here and then we'll stop. So he says that there's Gemara Tainus that says, you shall tithe all the seed crop. This is interpreted to mean that the concept of tithing applies, this is Rabbi Stein, I don't know who that is. This is interpreted to mean that this concept of tithing applies not only to crops and agricultural produce, but to all forms of profit and financial earnings. The fact that tithing earnings is mentioned in the context of tithing produce leads to the Tosfos Chadashim and later the Taz to suggest that tithing earnings is an obligation just like tithing produce. According to their position, Maaser Kesafim is the annual and broader financial equivalent of Maaser Ani, the pauper's tithe, which is the requirement to set aside one-tenth of the produce grown every third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle to be distributed to the poor. Now, here's what the Aruch HaShulchan summarized. The Taz notes that his father-in-law, the Bach, which I did not know that was the father-in-law, I had no idea they were related, okay, disagrees and writes that the notion of tithing earnings is merely a praiseworthy custom, but not a formal obligation. This is also the position of the Maharam in Rotenberg, cited in the Pesachei Tshuva, and the prevailing opinion of the vast majority of contemporary poskim. The Chida explains that according to these authorities, the entire institution of Maaser Kesafim is not part of the regular system of tithing, but rather represents the recommended amount of tzedakah charity that each person should give on a yearly basis. This view, what?
No, there was a three by the majority of poskim.
Oh. I think we'll look at the end of the article. Yeah. This view is supported by the fact that Meister Kesafim is presented by the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeah 249.1, Arsimen, in the context of the general obligation to give tzedakah, whereas the Shulchan Aruch writes, under ordinary circumstances, a fifth of one's property is most laudable. To give one-tenth is the average disposition, but to give anything less than one-tenth is stingy. So basically, this whole network of the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rambam, who don't talk, well, the Rambam doesn't talk about Meister Kesafim. He just talks about it as a recommended value for regular tzedakah. That does seem to be the majority of the contemporary poskim, according to this summary article, which I will look at footnote 3, is therefore the Chavetz Chaim recommends that when giving Meister Kesafim for the first time, we should stipulate and have in mind, that we are only doing so voluntarily without any intention to accept a vow to do so in the future, because it's like a recommended practice, not a obligation. Similarly, if we mistakenly thought that Meister Kesafim was a formal obligation and later discovered that it is only a minhag, we would not have to abrogate or renounce our vow, since the oath was taken under false pretenses, right? That's the halacha, that if you think something is the halacha and you do it three times, like I think I gave this example earlier, that when I came here, the yeshiva's minhag back then was to fast on for half a day on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and people talked about it as though that was like plain like Ikar Adin. So I like did that for years. And then one day I was like, no one's doing this anymore. And they're like, yeah, you know, it's a minhag that like, it's a, you know, I didn't have to do Hatar Sandarim because I took it upon myself thinking it was the actual halacha. Additionally, since Meister Kesafim is generally treated as a minhag and not a formal obligation, the parameters and limits of the minhag might not have rigidly defined or universal rules. Rather, at least to a certain degree, each person's minhag might be shaped by their own mindset and specific assumptions when they initially undertook to separate Meister. Right. So I've taken the lazy approach. In my, because I'm really bad when it comes to like money things. Like I'm not in terms of like I'm very not spend not miserly is the wrong word. But like I don't like spending money on things unless it's necessary. Frugal, thank you. Yeah, frugal. And then when it comes to tzedakah, I just give until I know that I'm like giving more than I need to. Like I don't do this whole thing of like deducting all the stuff and then. You know, so I was always wondering in the back of my mind, like, am I just like making stuff up? You know, but he's saying that since it's all midos, like midos based anyway, then like there is room for a certain personal practice.
I would say that for Meister Kesafim, it's every third and sixth year old.
I don't know. Like, I haven't looked at the Taz's.
General, does he mean like?
Yeah, unclear to me. And I haven't seen it inside the Taz. So we can look at that.
That was up one.
Thank you, Taz. Up to Taz. In your day 331.32. You want to quickly look at that? 331. You don't have to if you don't want to. 331.32. 331.32. The Taz. 32. As says. Oh, that's long. Let's not do that now. Yeah. All right. So we need it tomorrow. Let's go back to the Rambam. Okay. But I think that was good to do. Okay.
Have a good day.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.